But the gospel offers, at the very least, it offers hope. And I'm not just talking about hope for the afterlife, which is really big. I'm talking about hope right where people live here and now and today. Look, here's the situation. Life is hard, and everyone has problems, and everyone experiences depression and despair and difficulties, and sometimes unresolvable difficulties, and disability and disease and disaster and tragedy and regret. Relationship problems, you name it. You name the situation. Hope for your marriage. Hope for healing, hope for release, hope for a new beginning. We offer supernatural hope. Hope that God will get involved. Hope that God will grant strength, purpose, perhaps miraculous intervention. Who knows? The point is that with God, there is always, always hope. You might be a hopeful person without God. You might just naturally be hopeful. But if so, you are simply placing your hopes on the randomness of chance, like, oh, I hope it doesn't rain today. But with God, you have something, someone solid to hope in. The life of faith is a life of hope. Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." I would add to that, neither is the hopeless life worth living. If it's hopeless, what's the point? If you could bottle hope and sell it, you'd be rich. Who would not be guzzling hope every day if you could get it in a bottle? But this is what we have to offer. And the amazing thing is that this hope does not end at the grave, but we offer hope of life beyond the grave, and not just in some spiritual, nebulous, vaporous, semi-transparent, wraith-like hovering around in eternal, boring bliss hope, but actually a physical, bodily, human resurrection from the dead, crazy as it sounds. And this is the great and final hope, a hope in which we may believe because our eyes have seen it and our hands have touched it. The living, resurrected Messiah. Number 5, what do we have to offer? We have the Word of God, the Bible. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, that's not such a big deal. After all, there's a Bible in every hotel room, which is true. But we offer, and I'm talking about we in Messianic Judaism, we offer the keys to unlock that book. You can say what you want about the Messianic Jewish movement, but there really is no more biblically sound thing in the world. You might not like who we are or what we are doing in Messianic Judaism, but we do have the goods on the Bible. If the Bible really is the Word of God, if it really is true, then these are the old paths. I'm not saying that other branches of Christianity don't have the Bible, nor am I saying that Judaism doesn't have the Tanakh. I'm just saying we have the best of both worlds, and we have the goods. Granted, this isn't going to appeal to everyone, but at least in Western culture, there still is a general respect for the Bible. It still has a certain cultural resonance, like swear on the Bible type of thing. It's still the best-selling book of all time, and people are still willing to learn about it and study it. And my argument is that no one is in a better position to teach, explain, and reveal the meaning of the Bible than Messianic Judaism. Let me give you an example. Messianic Rabbi Dr. Michael Schiffman said that the most successful outreach campaign he ever had was what he called a smoker's Bible study. Now, I realize this is an offensive and controversial way to do outreach, which will probably make a lot of people upset, so I understand, and I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying, this is what Rabbi Schiffman did. He did this Bible study, I think in a cigar store or something like that, and people came. He brought the Bible to them, and they responded. So this is something that we do have to offer, the goods on the Word of God, the Bible, the best-selling book of all time. Number 6, this one may sound strange, but one of the things that we do have to offer the world is the commandments of the Torah, 613 mitzvahs. You might think, why would anyone want 613 commandments? But it's all a matter of how you look at it. I think of them as form and structure that give definition to otherwise random lives. I look at the commandments and present the commandments as 613 opportunities to elevate yourself, to improve yourself, 613 opportunities to connect with God. Look, people naturally desire structure and order in life. We need it. We need routine. We need structure. We need form. We need order. Without it, our lives are random, chaotic, and shapeless. The commandments provide form and structure. I'm not talking about trying to sell people on becoming Jewish, but I'm talking about offering solid moral and ethical direction for life decisions and dilemmas. I think that's valuable. It's part of what we have to offer from a Torah perspective. Concrete, solid, ethical direction. Number 7, we offer purpose. Think about that for a second. Just like I said, what is life without hope? You could ask, what is life without a purpose? What's the meaning of life? What is the point of existing? You're born, you struggle, you strive, you die. The cycle of life and death. What's the point? People are, whether they know it or not, they are always looking for purpose. And if they never stop to examine what purpose it is that they are operating under, then the purpose is simply seek pleasure and flee from pain, like an animal. Seek gratification, flee pain and discomfort. Not much of a purpose. But our faith, our religion, offers purpose and meaning in life that can make all the difference. We offer a reason to live. What is our purpose? What is our reason to live? To advance the kingdom of heaven. We are in the service, the employ of the king. It's a job for life. There's no mandatory retirement age. There is no retirement. And there's no point at which you can say, well, now that's over. I wonder what I should do with my life now. This is the overarching purpose that informs everything else. In the Master's words, seek first the kingdom. Or to use a cliche from the Christian world, it's a purpose-driven life. And I believe that purpose, to have purpose, I believe that that is worth a lot, a reason to live. You might say that having a reason to live is priceless. So to recapitulate then, as we bring our signs and wonders to Egypt, as we bring our herbs to Herb Town, be confident in this. You have a superior product to offer. What is it? Number 1, relationship with God, to know him as Father. Number 2, relationship with the Master through discipleship and his anointing spirit upon us. Spiritual regeneration, new life, the deposit of the Holy Spirit, firing our souls and opening a whole new spiritual dimension to existence. Number 3, a heritage in the people of God. That is, a place at the table of Abraham. Rootedness. Number 4, hope instead of hopelessness, and a future hope. Hope for both this life and hope that reaches beyond the grave. Number 5, the Word of God, the goods on the Bible. Number 6, mitzvot, 613 opportunities to connect with God and to elevate yourself. And number 7, purpose, a reason to live, to advance the kingdom. Service of the King, a job for life, the purpose-driven life. That's my sales pitch. So what do you think? Do we have a deal?